Today is Easter. Are you feeling it? Lo, the day of days is here, festival of hope and cheer. Who's with me? O day of light and gladness, alleluia. Or maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you're still in the days of dark and sadness, days of storm or stormy McDaniels. Maybe you're in the festival of fear and trembling, the festival of this is too much and will this ever end and my God, why is this man still president? It's Passover, too. The first night of Passover was Friday evening. We're in the week now of Passover. And there again, the question is, we're in Passover, are you? Liturgically, it's happening. We've had the Seder, we've told the story, we are through with the plagues, we're out of Egypt, released from bondage, done with slavery, and on our way to the promised land. Or maybe not. Just because the holiday has arrived doesn't mean that we've arrived this side of the grave or this side of Egypt. It's a little pushy, isn't it, to demand that just because Easter has arrived by the calendar, our spirits must be up at dawn singing alleluias and feeling all alive again. Maybe we've had a hard week. Who knows what tragedy has just happened? Bad news from the doctor. Just because Passover has arrived by calendar, it's too much to expect that we all must have escaped our personal Egypts and be ready to celebrate. Maybe what's holding us down is still on top of us. How dare the robins and the daffodils insist that just because it's the first week of spring, we must be feeling personally sunny. Maybe the wheel of the seasons has turned, it has, and the North American continent is now turning toward the sun again, but we might still be turned away, still sitting in the dark, still feeling the chill in our bones and depression in our souls. Not only this year, but any year, Passover and Easter might arrive as April Fool's jokes played against our suffering souls. Could be. Or maybe you are feeling sunny and free and alive today. Who knows? Easter and Passover and spring come every year. The myths of being dead and coming to life, of being oppressed and then being liberated. The fact of winter giving way to spring get told again this time each year and will be told again a year from now, just as they were told a year ago, without regard whether we personally are moving at the same speed as the calendar. We may have an Easter-like feeling in our lives sometime this year, but there's no guarantee that it's happening right today. It would be remarkable if it were, actually. Maybe you have an Easter-like feeling every year, or maybe your personal cycle of liberation and hardship happens less often, every 5 years maybe, or 10, or just a couple times in your life. And though it isn't part of the myths themselves, the myths must acknowledge this truth, that the movement from dark to light is always and must be reversed by a movement back to the dark again. The myths are one-time stories. They are stories of discrete events of resurrection or liberation. But spiritually, we don't live that way. We roll through life with highs and lows that are followed by highs again and then more lows. The only way, think about it, that it makes sense to have an Easter this year and then to have another Easter next year is to admit that sometime during the coming year, Jesus is going to have to get back into the grave again. The only way it makes any sense to have a Passover every year is because that feeling of being in bondage keeps returning. We're never permanently free. We keep slipping back into Egypt. We need to be reminded again and again that liberation is always possible, is always promised, is always worth working for, because we keep finding ourselves feeling oppressed again, depressed again, and entombed again. And just when things get really tough, really dark, here comes spring again. Here comes Passover again. Here comes Peter Cottontail hopping down the bunny trail. Oh, day of light and gladness. So Easter isn't a day. It can't be. It would be useless if it were. Easter can't be a one and done historical event, or a day like you might have lived through in your own life that is now part of your personal history but will never come again. Resurrection happened once only to Jesus, we are told, 2,000 years ago. But Easter is an ongoing event, annually, officially, but unofficially as often as you need it. Passover, too. And though the fact of spring happens exactly once a year, the myth of spring can arrive more or less often as you need it. We need to be told the stories now so we remember them, so that we can use them when we need them, which might be now or later this year or even further into the future. But Easter and Passover are also more than a single day in a different way, because both of them are particular events that happen in the midst of larger stories. And in this way, too, if we simplify the myths down to just single discrete days, we bleed away the power of what these stories can really mean in our lives. So I want to tell the whole story of both of these holidays today. So first, Easter. So Easter really begins a week ago on Palm Sunday. That's the day that Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem at the high point of his ministry. We are told in Matthew that he presents himself as a king, reenacting the ceremonial procession of a new king of Israel. He comes in riding on a donkey, palm fronds thrown on the road in front of him, and the crowd singing the Hosanna psalm that is used at the coronation of a king. Jesus shows his power over the priesthood by throwing out the money changers and criticizing the temple religion that in his eyes has become a corrupt servant of the rich and the powerful and the Roman occupiers of the land, instead of working to create the egalitarian society of justice and love that Jesus sees as the commandment of his faith. On Thursday, Jesus celebrates the Passover with his disciples. They have a Last Supper together, and Jesus gives them the commandments to share food and drink in his memory in years to come. That night, he is betrayed while praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. On Friday, he is quickly tried and crucified. We're told that he dies on the cross at 3 o'clock Friday afternoon. And then because evening is already fast approaching and the Sabbath is about to begin, there isn't time for Jesus' followers to bury Jesus properly. So instead, they place his body in a borrowed tomb, most likely a cave, and then they close the entrance to the cave with a large rock to keep scavenging animals away. The next day is Saturday. Jesus is dead, and his followers spend the day in shock and mourning. As soon as it's light on Sunday, Jesus' followers come to the cave to prepare the body for proper burial, and they discover the miracle that Jesus isn't there. He's risen from the dead. So Easter is a story. It's the Passion Week, with Sunday at the end of the story. And Easter isn't a declaration of new life that comes out of nowhere. Easter Sunday is a resurrection that follows real death on Good Friday. In 3 days, Friday, Saturday to Sunday, Jesus moved from death on the cross to resurrection. If Easter were just a day, then we would miss the important aspect of the story, that to move from death to life is a process. It's not an event. To move from death to life takes time, at least 3 days, even for Jesus. The miracle isn't just Sunday morning. The miracle is Friday afternoon and evening and Friday night and Saturday night. And then, at last, we stumble into Sunday morning. And during the journey of those 3 days, so the story goes, Jesus wasn't just lying in the tomb. Jesus was working. The followers discover Jesus' resurrection on Sunday morning, but according to the story, Jesus was already resurrected on Saturday. Did you know that? Many Christian churches regularly recite a belief statement that's called the Apostles' Creed, and it begins like this. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. Did you get that? On Saturday, Jesus descended into hell. Crucified, died, and was buried on Friday. On Sunday, he arose again from the dead. On Saturday, he descended into hell. Jesus was resurrected on Saturday in order to do the work of offering salvation to all of the righteous souls that had died before him. The picture of Jesus going into the opening the gates of hell is a favorite subject of artists and poets throughout Christian history. And in Eastern Orthodox churches this morning, the icon that's placed at the front of the door is not the cross or the empty tomb, but this picture of Jesus opening the gates of hell. So by the time we get to Sunday, Jesus has already been busy. Easter is the end of the story told this way, but coming to life again is a story. It's not an event. And Easter Sunday isn't even really the end of the story, because like a lot of Christian holidays, Easter is a season, not just a day. Easter Sunday is the first day of a 50-day season that ends with Pentecost. Pentecost literally means 50 in Greek. So during the 50 days that start today, Christians tell the stories of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances. 40 days from today is the day that he ascends finally to heaven. And then on Pentecost, Christians celebrate the day that the Holy Spirit descends onto Jesus' disciples and gives birth to the Christian church. So that's the real end of this story, the real end point of this journey. Coming again to new life is a process. It's not a sudden miracle. You don't just wake up one Sunday morning suddenly feeling, oh, cool, I'm out of the tomb. Oh, day of light and gladness. Coming again to new life takes time. You have to wait, and you have to work. You probably have to suffer. You might even feel like you're dying. You need to be put away in a cave and covered with a rock. As the Christian theology insists, you've got to really die before you can be born again. And even then, you can't just wait around for this Sunday miracle. You might have to spend Saturday in hell. The Easter myth is that coming to new life is hard, not easy. It's tough. You've got to work, and you have to wait. You have to sweat it out. And you will get there, but not suddenly, maybe not soon, and certainly not simply. The Passover story also is the celebration of a single event, but an event that implies a whole story. So Passover, the event, is the evening that is at the end of the 10 plagues that God, through Moses, inflicts upon the Egyptian people in an attempt to persuade Pharaoh to release the Hebrew slaves. The last plague is the slaughter by God of the firstborn of every Egyptian family, and the firstborn of their livestock, too. God tells Moses to tell his people to mark the doorways of their homes with a lamb's blood that they've sacrificed, and then during this horrifying night, God passes over the marked homes, sparing the families within. And it's at this point in the story that the Bible gives the commandment to celebrate the Passover every year. The commandment to remember the Passover actually comes just before the night when the passing over occurs. It's a commandment to remember something that hasn't actually happened yet. And more than that, part of the commandment is that the Jews should tell the story of the Passover every year, including the promise that God has made to them to take them out of Egypt and into the promised land. The Jews are being commanded to remember something that won't actually happen for 40 years. The Exodus story is only just about to begin. They are about to start a journey through the desert, a journey that we are told will take 40 years to complete, and they are already being told to celebrate it every year. Imagine then, every year, for 40 years in the desert, the Jews celebrate a Passover that reminds them that every year, that God has brought them out of Egypt in order to bring them to the promised land. And every year for those 40 years, they look out at the desert surrounding them and they say, "Really, God? Really? Is this the year we get there? Because this still looks a lot like desert to me." Passover, the event, marks a significant point on a story of moving people from slavery to liberation, from suffering to joy, from bondage to another person's needs, to a life of self-determination, from a kind of death to a kind of new life. But the event of Passover is only a point on a journey, and in this case, it's not even the end point. Passover isn't the promised land. In fact, Passover happens still in Egypt, a lot closer to the beginning of this journey than to the end. To get to the promised land takes time. 40 years, even if you've got Moses himself to guide you. It takes wandering through the desert. It takes complaining and grumbling, the Bible tells us. It takes backsliding, returning to old ways. To get all the way there requires moving through days and weeks and years, even when you feel like giving up, when you doubt you'll ever get where you're going. 40 years, coming to new life is hard. In each of these stories, Easter and Passover, there is an instigating event that brings an old, stable reality to an end, and then a lengthy process ensues before the new reality is created. These are stories of change and transition, and then at long last, a new and liberating normal. These are stories of destruction and creation, but not as single acts, but as long, effortful cycles. 3 days from death to resurrection, plus 50 more days to the creation of the church. 8 days of Passover, plus 40 years of the Exodus before we get to the promised land. You may have experienced an instigating event in your life recently, maybe a cancer diagnosis, the end of a job, a decision to end a relationship, and then a journey begins. An instigating event could be a happy event, too, or an event that mixes happy and sad, as so many do, a life change that you choose and plan for yourself, or an instigating event that comes to you as a shock or a blessing, a new addition to the family, graduation from college after years of study, starting a new job. In these cases, too, an instigating event provokes a change. A journey begins that will lead only slowly to a new reality. In the life of this church, you all experienced an instigating event last year when Reverend Ranima announced her resignation. That event might, for some of you, have felt like what the followers of Jesus might have felt, thrown from what they thought was a flourishing ministry to a sudden and bewildering end, followed by a long and sorrowful Saturday that you might still be feeling. Little help it must be at times like these to be told to celebrate God's victory over the Egyptians when the victory hasn't even happened yet, or to celebrate your entrance into the promised land when the entrance is still 40 years in the future. But that's the truth of these myths and the spiritual truth of how change happens. Liberation is won slowly, New life comes eventually. It's hard to wait. It's hard to trust that the journey is moving forward. It's hard to imagine the way to go or believe that necessary work is happening for us in places that we can't see or know about. But the story of these stories is that we must have patience, and we should, because we don't move directly from instigating event to the miracle. We never do. We cannot rush. We cannot hurry. We cannot jump there. We take a journey, and a journey takes time. A journey takes work. A journey takes us through a vast desert. Maybe we will even have to go through hell. We will take this journey together. We can do this, these religious myths tell us, because we did it then. We've done it before. So come journey then out of bondage, out of the tomb, and know that we all together as a church and you in your personal life will get to the promised land of our future happiness. We will emerge again to the resurrection of our lives. Thank you.